Hi everyone, here's my disclaimer. The views of the guests in this interview may not represent the views of the station or host. Hi everyone, this is Betsy Wurzel, your host of Chatting with Betsy on Passionate World Talk Radio, where our mantra is to educate, enlighten, and entertain. Folks, I have phenomenal guests on my show, and as I do have to say that to my own horn, too, because it's true. And today I have a phenomenal guest. I just love her. She's my new friend. I was on Wynn Charles' show back in, in August. Time goes by so fast. But my guest is the wonderful Wynn Charles. She is host of Ask Wynn podcast. Wynn has cerebral palsy, and her mission is to help others with physical and mental disabilities to find their voices through written or spoken word using today's assistive technologies as needed. And Wynn also does podcast coaching, and she does a lot more, and I'm going to let her talk about what she does, but I just want to tell the audience right off the bat, and because this is how strongly I feel today about a certain matter. Everyone needs to be treated with respect and dignity. And even though people have physical disabilities or mental disabilities, does not mean we should ignore them and be disrespectful. They are human beings and they have feelings. And when you see someone in a wheelchair, don't disregard them. Don't think they can't hear you. They can hear you. And they need to be treated. Everyone needs to be treated with respect. Just because someone is in a wheelchair doesn't mean their mind doesn't work. And often a lot of people think that. And my guest, Wynn Charles, is going to discuss about that also. So I want to welcome Wynn Charles to Chatting with Betsy. Welcome, Wynn.
Welcome, and thank you for having me on. As Betsy
You're
said,
welcome.
I am the host of Ask Wynn, and I am the other host of, when I say the other host, of the artwork with CP. I do that along with my girlfriend, Danielle Coulter, and that is all about raising disability awareness as well. And so between the two podcasts and a YouTube show, I'm all about raising awareness for disabilities, and not only cerebral palsy, but all disabilities as well. And for those of you who don't know what cerebral palsy is a brain injury. It's a lack of oxygen injury at birth. And I acquired cerebral palsy at birth, and I was born in 87, and I'm still kicking with cerebral palsy. And for those of you that really don't know how Betsy and I stumbled upon, when I was on Facebook, I stumbled upon her post. I think it was Josh's birthday that you were posting on Facebook. And I thought, man, this person has the same philosophy that I do as far as let's get the disabled out of the house, let's get the disabled in the community, let's integrate them in the community. And I grew up like that as well. I'll explain that in a minute. And so I thought, man, this person has the same philosophy as I do. So I snuck behind the scenes and direct messaged her and said, hey, do you want to be on my show? And then she turns around and says, yes. And then she offered me this interview with her. So I get to have fun being behind the mic and not asking questions.
Yes, you get a break today.
Yeah, I do.
You can relax and just answer the questions. Wynn, what I am admire about you is that you're not letting cerebral palsy rule your life, and what I mean by that is stopping you. You are fierce, and you are doing a podcast, and you are out there raising awareness on cerebral palsy and other disabilities and being an advocate. And I just admire anyone who does advocacy work, and I just think that what you do is very, very awesome, and I want people to know about you. If they don't already, they will.
I appreciate that, but I don't feel like I'm doing enough advocacy work. I don't feel like I'm doing enough, but it's okay. We'll get to the point where I'll be doing enough and not be happy, because people become newly disabled every single day, and people don't know how to deal with their disability when they are newly disabled. CP is a pediatric disability. It's not adult onset disability. It's a pediatric disability.
Right. Usually from birth, or can someone, a child, because children do have strokes. A child can also get CP from a stroke.
By a stroke, CP can be caused by a stroke. And if you look up, you guys, walking with KP, walking with KPZ, they're a triathlete team out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they know who I am. I've worked with them in the past. They are the first two triathletes, one being able-bodied, the other one having CP, to win the Kona Ironman in Kona, Hawaii. I am the first woman with cerebral palsy to compete in the Kona Ironman. So I was a triathlete for a good year, did all the training, not so much anymore, but I would love to do a Kona Ironman again, but it would have to be with a totally different team. I would have to get physically back in shape to do a Kona Ironman. But long before I started my advocacy work, and this is what led me to my mom dying led me to my advocacy work, and then doing the Kona Ironman led me to do more advocacy work, and so that's where we are today. And if you guys look up Walk with KPZ, you are Kaya Pease out of Atlanta, Georgia, you will see the work that they do in the triathlete field for the disabled as well.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Wynn. I have to ask you, Wynn, I know you probably were asked this before, but I never had you on my show, so I'm probably going to ask you questions you've already been asked. Did you go to a special school, or were you mainstreamed?
Funny enough.
Or both.
I was mainstreamed all the way through college, and I got one degree. I'm still working on my second bachelor's degree. I have an associate's degree in education, but I'm still working on my bachelor's degree in journalism. Life has gotten in the way, and I have decided not to go back to school. Because life has gotten in the way, and until I can find someone that could help me basically with my homework, that's why I'm taking a break from school.
And you were a teacher at one point.
I was a teacher up until COVID hit. And then, unfortunately, like a million Americans, I lost my job.
Yeah.
So, and I decided, well, then I lost my job in March, my dad in May. I lost my job in March, my dad in May. And then I thought, oh, boy, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. And then I decided to, it was heavily suggested to me that I need to, because of the loss of my father, I needed to do something to better my life. And so I decided to move to Phoenix, Arizona, of all places. Whereupon, as we do this interview, I'm sitting in my own condo, and where I'm at right now is the best shape I have ever been in my life, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And since losing my dad, I was lucky enough to sell my dad's house and buy this one. So essentially, at the end of my dad's life, because he didn't, and I say this with love, he wanted me to be set up before he married his second wife. And the second wife didn't necessarily like that. And I knew the second wife. We still get along. But he essentially said, no, I won't marry you until Wynn has her finances all set up. And I got a small gift from my mom. I am still working on getting that small gift from my mom. But he didn't want to marry his second wife until I had all my finances set up. Well, of course, he, and the reason why I go into this story is because my big PSA is to get your paperwork in order before the person passes away. And in the middle of creating a will, he passed away. In the middle of creating a will, he passed away. So I was left with the bag. I was left toting bag in 2019. And I was left in a four-bedroom house in Aspen, Colorado. And I'm like, nope, this is not going to work. We're selling the house. I made the decision to sell the house with the guidance from my team, and my stepmom, my common-law stepmom, wasn't even there the day I made the decision. She comes in my room 2 days later, and she goes, before your lawyer calls me, do you have anything to tell me? And I'm like, we're selling the house. We're selling this house. We're in it right now. I have already made plans to sell this house. And she turned on her heels, didn't talk to me for 2 days. But at
wow.
the end of the day, my dad left his house to me, and so I could do whatever the heck I wanted. And so I decided to sell the house, move, and get a better quality of life.
Wow, you had such a good dad. I'm so sorry about your dad's passing. But you know what? When you brought up such an important topic that I talk about so many times, and that is making sure your wishes are known before you die. A will is very important, and especially if you have a person who has a situation such as yours, getting that. Making sure your child is set up. And that is very important. Your dad sounds like he was really very loving and caring. And my heart goes out to you in the loss of your father. You lost your dad in May.
And then I lost my mom in 2010.
Wow.
And then I lost my in May of 2019.
That's a lot of loss. And you, I know you have sisters. Do they get involved?
A stepsister. My stepsister was staying involved when my dad was passing away. But now, since I've moved, I still speak to my step family, but I speak to them more than I speak to my mom's family, quite frankly. But I, and I don't care if my family hears it. I don't care, because what they did to me was despicable. No one told them to stop. I got emotionally and physically abused June 23rd, 2019.
Wow, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, in other words, they washed their hands of you, more or less.
No, it's the opposite. I washed my hands of them.
Okay.
It's the opposite. Because they kept pushing on information, and they kept saying, oh, and in my mom's will, it said, if anything were to happen to me or my husband, Wynn would go live with my two sisters and mom. If one of them emotionally and physically abused me, the other one just go down added fuel to the fire. And my stepmom and my stepsister and my aide didn't, because my aide was being paid by them, didn't necessarily do anything, didn't necessarily say anything, and I knew I was being emotionally abused. So that next week, I reported it, and then all heck broke loose because of now my family, one family member now has a record because of what she did to me. I went into, I got interviewed by a professional journalist who does this day in, day out. That was scary. And I got looked at by the Carlisle district attorney, and I got look that up and down, and my stepmom did not want to do a witness statement for the cops. My aide was brazenly enough, and no, I repeat, no, none of my aides ever emotionally and physically abused me. This was a family member that came in directly after, well, pretty much, my dad died in May, they came in June. So they wanted to take me away. They wanted to get full custody of me. Now, granted, I was 33 at the time. Well, you can't get full custody of a person over the age of 18, at least I don't think so. And so they wanted full custody of me, and the reason why they emotionally and physically abused me is because they didn't like my care. They did not like my care. And I'm like, well, and so I sued them out of the house. I'm like, goodbye, goodbye. Didn't talk to them for months. And then they call me and say, oh, we want to put you in a group home. And I'm like, well, that's not going to help. And so the group home, all the group home wanted was a paycheck, and I kept going back and forth and meeting with this group home, and it finally came to the decision that the group home wouldn't be suitable for me, and so therefore my aunt stumbled across the housing development I'm in now, and she goes, here, try this. The next thing I know, I'm dialing a Phoenix phone number, a very, 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 very nice real estate agent answers the phone. And I said, look, I'm looking at your website, you say apartment complex for people with disabilities. What's the deal? And he explains the deal, and the next thing I know, I have a meeting with my team, and my team goes, well, let's go down there and look at it. And so they drive 10 hours to look at this dang place. They show me via video, and turns out I just fell in love with the dang place. The next thing I know, I'm moving to Phoenix, Arizona, March 19th of 2022, and I've been here ever since.
Wow, that is some story. Yep. Well, I'm glad you did stand your ground and you got away from people who were toxic, and that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, nobody should be around people that are toxic like that. I mean, you don't need that. So you're by yourself. Do you have assistance? Do you need assistance?
I do have assistance. I do need assistance. I have assistance in the morning for 20 minutes. I have assistance in the afternoon for, Okay. So, definitely I got to move because I didn't expect this guy. So, this is real life, you guys. This is what we're doing is I expect it. So what I was going to say is that it's so incredible for me to be down here and doing all this that you guys should really look at what your child's needs. And what I was going to say is, yes, I do have assistance. I have assistance on the 20 minutes in the morning and 4 hours in the afternoon. And so
okay. That's
how I do my daily life. Hi.
Well, that's great. And your assistance is reliable, I hope?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. And I know we were talking before the interview, we were discussing transportation, what that is like. It's like a nightmare when you have to rely on public transportation.
Yeah, that's a nightmare of all nightmares. And it's the nightmare of all nightmares because Phoenix public transportation, Phoenix public transportation, I will say this, is excellent. But at the same time, to go to another cross-county line and go to another municipality, that is excellent. That is not so excellent. And they have left me stranded. They have, the one time I used them, they left me stranded. So, again, to use public transportation, you guys have to get into the system. You can't just say, oh, my child has a disability. Nope, they need a doctor's. Nope, then some states will give you a test, and then they will put you on public transportation.
Right, yes. And I know that's not reliable, as it should be. Like you said, you were stranded. I've heard of them coming late, people being late for appointments, people being late for work, using the public transportation. And how do people in general treat you? Because are you in a wheelchair all the time, or can you walk?
I am what they call ambulatory wheelchair user, meaning I use a 50-50 split between a power wheelchair and a walker, and I can walk short distances. The only reason why I'm in the power chair is because of my spine. I had major spine surgery in 2006. So, and that went hopefully long, but the only reason why I'm in a power chair is because my spine can't hold me up any longer. And so for safety reasons, I'm in a power chair, but I can still walk with walker, get up and go to the bathroom and still walk with walker. It's much easier for me to be in a power chair than it is to use a walker.
And how do people treat you? Because you are in a wheelchair. I really like to know from your perspective, because I know I have seen people being mistreated because they are in a wheelchair, thinking that you don't have a brain, that you can't talk or think for yourself, which is not true.
It's interesting because you know this, I am such a loudmouth that there's no way that people could mistreat me anymore because I am such a loudmouth. And if it was a true emergency, I would say you need to, I would first of all call 911. These cell phones are so smart nowadays, and these Apple watches and these Android watches and Google watches are so smart nowadays that they all have fall detection in, and they'll have, when you go to turn my iPhone off, it says SOS at the bottom of it, and SOS will call 911. So I do have a medical call button, but I'm such a loudmouth, and I know what's going on around me, and yeah.
Yeah, and what I'd like for you to talk about is how do you want, I want you to tell the audience how you want to be treated, because like you want to be treated like everyone else, and just because someone's in a wheelchair doesn't make them mentally impaired like people think. People have that notion for some reason. And it's not true. I don't know if that's very old school, but it boggles my mind. Like my mom, she said one time, somebody was in a wheelchair, and she said, you know, they could talk and think. And I said, well, what do you think? I said, just because someone's in a wheelchair doesn't mean they can't talk and think. But she's probably thinking back to her time, you know, way, way back when that's what she might have seen or that's what she was taught. And it's a whole new ballgame now. People with disabilities are, I say, coming out of the closet because that's how it should be. You know, they used to hide people away that had any kind of disability. And back in the 60s and even farther, you know, down in the years, people were put away. And that's not how it is now. People with many different types of disabilities are out in public, and they want to be treated with respect. And they should be.
Yes. And I went to school without the Americans with Disabilities Act. I am a 90s kid. I am a late 87s kid, but I'm a late 80s kid, early all the way 90s kid. But I went to school without the Americans with Disabilities Act, and so I learned how to act like a normal adult with, and I learned how to speak my mind. I mean, people will tell you way back when, I am not a wallflower. I am just not a wallflower. I just speak my mind when it's appropriate. And the filter has dialed down just a little bit since I've moved down here, but I'm still not a wallflower. If I get angry, I get angry.
Yes, and I'm the same way. I let people in my younger years, and I grew up in the 60s, 70s, bully me and be disrespectful to me, but, not anymore. Definitely not. And when it came to my family, when it comes to my family, definitely I will not tolerate that. I'm a mama bear. That's my spirit animal.
Yeah.
Like a mama bear with a cub. I think that it's my soapbox today, folks, because I'm very passionate about this. And I was telling Wynn before the show, one of my friends on Facebook, I will not mention their name because of privacy, said to me, he has autism. He said to me, he loves me because I'm not mean to him. I'm kind to him. And I said, everyone should be treated with respect and dignity. I just find it so heartbreaking that people get disregarded. I worked as a nurse, as you know, and I worked in a state institution for severely disabled. And when they came back from the hospital, the way their bodies were when they came back was such a disgrace. They didn't get proper care. Why didn't they get proper care? Because they can't talk, because they can't walk and speak up for themselves. If I was the direct care there, I would have said something. Or if I were to do the hospital check, I would have said something. It's a disgrace when somebody comes back with disgusting bed sores all over because they weren't treated properly because they have a disability. That's just so unacceptable to me. And it makes me angry. But and as having a child who does have a disability, I entered that world. And, I got news for the audience when anyone at any time can become disabled. How do you want to be treated as that happens to you? Car accident can make you wheelchair bound. You know, no one is immune from anything happening to them. And people should think, how would I want to be treated? How would I want my loved one to be treated if they were in that situation? And that's how I always felt. And Josh, my son, he would come to work with me sometimes to get my check. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to go to the clients, and some clients I could have let him go up to because they would get a little rowdy. But Josh had no fear of people who had disabilities. He really didn't think anything of it. And I think that's how we should raise our kids. I think that when a child sees someone using a walker or crutches or in a wheelchair, they do stare because they want to know why, because children are curious. But, you'll hear a mom or dad say, don't stare at them. I don't know why they're like that. You know, don't look at them. Don't talk to them. And, and that's not right. Yeah.
I've had the parents say, don't stare at them. Don't talk to them. I'm like, what I love and what other people love is I say, when the kids stare, I say, hi. And they jump back. They jump back like, you just said hi. And I said hi. And the funniest ones is I will give people fake jobs. I will say, if you stand right here, I will do my job. And someone said to me a couple months ago, did you just give that person a fake job? To just stand there and guide you in, and because able-bodied people try and like to help too much in my opinion, and with me in a power chair, I have to I know my limitations. I know how to ask for help, but people like, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? And instead of me saying back off and go away, I say it would be easier if you just stand right there, and then that gives them a job, and people are like stunned when I do that. And the person just looks at me like, you just gave them a fake job, didn't you? And I said, yes. Yes, I did.
Yes, people, I think, you know, they want to help, but I think my own opinion is, ask the person, would you like
yes.
assistance? Don't just assume that they need assistance or want assistance.
Yes.
I know,
yes, exactly.
You know, if I see somebody who's, especially if they're elderly, having a hard time walking in with the walker, yes, I'll open up the door for them. And, you know, they'll say thank you and, you know, to do that. But please, people, don't go yanking somebody that's using a walker and yank them along to go faster. That's not too safe. But ask people if they need help. I know people who are that are blind and they are using a cane. They don't want someone to just come up to them and grab them or grab their cane. You're going to get them off kilter. Ask the person
yeah.
if they need assistance. And I think that's great that you live alone and you have reliable help. I have to ask you this one because I'm curious. How was it for you in the work environment? Did they provide accommodations? Did they give you a hard time? Were you accepted?
And this is the true reason why I retired and never went and still not in the workforce, and I don't care if the state of Arizona listens to this either. I don't care if my family listens to it. I don't care because I've been to my environment. I come up with ways to raise awareness, and a lot of the stuff I do is pro bono, meaning not for paycheck, and I am the bang to my own drum person, so there we go. I have jobs in the media. I had a job at one point during 2020. That job actually invited me back the other day. I am now hosting a YouTube TV show on Pod TV, and so if you guys want to go check that out, you're more than welcome to do it. It's called Winning with Win, and we're slowly starting back up. I had to take time off because of the mess of a move. I didn't realize that they were following me, and I didn't realize that they wanted me back until the other day, but that's, and so it's been interesting. But when I was in the workforce, they treated me with so much disrespect at the end, it's not even funny. I did a lot, well, they wanted me to do a lot of disabled stuff at the end, and I just gave up. I remember standing there one day with my aide, and they go, well, when? We don't have a meeting today, and we don't have this, the meeting got canceled. And I'm like, you guys have my phone number. You guys have my phone number. I've been being paid. I've been employed here for 10 years. I also was a student here. You guys know who I am. I've had a disability all my life, just a little bit of communication. Then I go, oops, sorry. And I'm like, I'm done. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, not having communications. But people will think disabled people are slow, disabled people don't have a brain. Give my advice to all you employers listening, and I don't care if it's at the state level or local level, don't put someone in a customer service job, which they tried to do in the state of Arizona, when you see the motivational speaker and the podcaster, when you look at their resume, put them in a job, use or ask them their gifts, and then use their gifts to find a job. Don't reinvent the wheel here, people. Don't reinvent the wheel. It's amazing to me that Vocal Rehab of Arizona tried to put me in customer service. I finally said, no, this is not working for me. I would rather do my own thing.
Yeah. That's just like not even realizing your potential.
Yeah.
You know, not even realizing, yes, you're a motivational speaker. Yes, you have media experience. You know, it just boggles my mind when the way people think, and I probably shared this with you when I was on your show, but when Josh, when he graduated from school, his first job was in a store. I won't mention the name. And they were really, they accommodated him at first. After 2 weeks, they switched the schedule. And they wouldn't let him have his job coach in there either to help him. And Josh said, you know, I gave you my availability, and now you know I'm not available these hours. And that manager was so nasty, not just to Josh. She was nasty to me, nasty to the job coach. I said, Josh, just quit. And I called up their ethic hotline, and I reported that manager, and I told that hotline, that's great that you hire people with disabilities, but you need to work with them. And yeah, they have a job coach. You are supposed to let them be there. And then he got a job with our a local school bus company that is wonderful, wonderful. They love him. They love Josh. They hire a lot of people with different disabilities. I won't give the name of that either for privacy, but they worked with Josh when his father was dying. They are really great, and he's been there 16 years, and he got that job on his own.
Yeah, it's amazing what it's amazing what disabled people can do on their own. I got my YouTube job essentially on my own. I got I started my own podcast, so that's on my own too. But it's amazing when you step outside the box and think about it. It's amazing what Vogue Rehab, and now I know Vogue Rehab, and people can at me a comment. People can email me at this one. I know Vogue Rehab is all about the numbers, but still, look at the disabled person's gifts and talents, and then you'll find a job to make you guys happy and find a job to make the disabled person's happy, because at the state level, and I believe in all 50 states, they do have a Vogue Rehab, but different rules for different states. But at the same time, it's all about the numbers, and being treated as a number makes me sad.
Yes, definitely. When I could talk to you for hours, I would love for you to come back again on my show.
I would definitely appreciate that. I would definitely appreciate that. There's
just so much that you have to offer an audience, and such, to give them such insight, because, you know, no one knows what it's like unless they walked in someone else's shoes. And actually, I did an interview with someone who has cerebral palsy. They're a social worker out in California. And I was his first interview. Actually, I'm going to give you his name. I'll have to do an intro email. I'll ask him if it's okay, because I think he'd be great for your show.
Please.
And I, you know, just like give people a chance. You know, people don't know what other people can do unless you give them a chance to show themselves. And I just feel that way. You know, let people live in peace and harmony. And yes, I know I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I'm all about the peace and the love. But I think everyone should be treated with respect and dignity. And I've said this so many times, but that's how I feel. I always treated my patients and my preschoolers like how I would want someone to treat my family and my child. And that's what we have to do. How can people get in touch with you?
People can get in touch with me. They can either type in the artwork of DP to any podcast where they choose, and the Amazon smart speakers will play it. The Google smart speakers will play it as well. And it can be found on Audible or any podcast player they choose, including Apple Podcasts. And on the Android side, you guys know your podcast players. People can also find me at askwin.webelieve.com. People can also find me via Pod TV at Winning with Win, and they can also go to my YouTube channel, which is Win, W-I-N, Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S, 1195. That is my own personal YouTube channel. All my podcasts are listed there, and you can search me there. You can search me on Pod TV. You can pretty much find me everywhere. You can email me. You can get my phone number off my website. You can just contact me.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to have to check out your YouTube channel, and I'm going to have to check out your YouTube, Winning with Win. That's a tongue twister for me.
Exactly. No, I did that during the pandemic. Now I started back up again because I'm finally settled down there. Yeah, so people can pretty much find me everywhere, and I'm open and willing to feedback. I'm open and willing just to have a chat with you guys too.
Yes, oh, definitely. I can't thank you enough, when Charles, for coming on. Folks, please read the blog so you can see where you can get in touch with Wynn Charles, hear her podcast. I'm telling you, Wynn does phenomenal shows. She has phenomenal guests on. I was one of her guests, so you know she has phenomenal guests. Does phenomenal shows. And yes, I believe that women should support each other, and I think that everyone should support each other. You know what? Not one person has all the answers, and we learn from each other, and we learn from each other's stories. And thank you, Wynn Charles, for sharing your story. And I want to thank
you. You're so welcome.
Thank you. I want to thank Jeannie White, who's the producer, the show, and Jeannie writes the blog, and she's station manager of Passionate World Talk Radio. And I want to thank Lillian Caldwell, who's CEO of Passionate World Talk Radio, who makes this all possible. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Please share this show. She says that's not a podcast. Please share the show, and it's free to subscribe to Chatting with Betsy. I am on iHeart, Spreaker, Google, Amazon Music. That's what's coming into my mind right now. And it's free. My mission and vision is to help people and to give resources to have a better life, for you to hear people that are inspiring. When you're sitting there, and I'm a Jersey girl, so I'm just going to say it like it is. When you are sitting there feeling sorry for yourself, I can't do this, I can't do that, listen to this show. Listen to Wynn Charles. She's out there kicking rear end, kicking it, okay? Doing her thing, not letting her CP stop her. And if Wynn Charles is an inspiration, if she could do a show and she's out there living her life, and you can too, there's no excuse. So that's me being a Jersey girl, serving it straight up. And yeah. That's, you know, that's just how I feel. And I want to thank you, Wynn Charles, for inspiring me. Because sometimes I think, what am I doing on the show? I don't even like to hear my, sometimes I don't like to hear my own voice. And then you just inspire me. And I want to thank you for that. And folks, as I always say, as I always say at the end of my show, in a world where you could be anything, please be kind and shine your light bright. Because if we were kind and shined our light bright, what a happier, more peaceful, brighter world this would be. And we sure could use that now. This is your host, Betsy Wurzel, chatting with Betsy and Passionate World Talk Radio. Till we chat again, have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If you can't have a happy, and I hope it's a peaceful one. Till we chat again, just take care of yourself. Bye-bye now.